and know the refreshing that comes with that. I used to be in the Black Country in Stourbridge, and as a good Black Country person, going out into the countryside, it would be to Arley to go down by the River Severn. I used to really love walking along the banks of the River Severn at Arley. The steam train sort of going in the background, the cows in the meadows, the beautiful river Cajun with the canoeists going by, until I discovered that my next-door neighbour, in her 70s, had a bit of a thing for skinny dipping in the River Severn. And she would take herself off down to Arley at the River Severn, and she would strip off completely. I don't mean just take her shoes and socks off. We're talking the whole full Monty down in the River Arley. And I got to a point where I just couldn't quite picture her in that river, at least trying not to. So that kind of ruined it for me. But it may be that there are other rivers that have got a special place in your heart and mind. Maybe you've had a holiday and you've been down by the River Trent, or you've been going a little bit further, and maybe it's in France, down on the River Loire or the Dordogne. Maybe going even further, perhaps it's for you, it's the River Danube and the kind of the enormity of that particular river. There are all sorts of rivers that we experienced, little ones, big ones, and no doubt for all of us, we've got a river that kind of comes to our mind. In our story that we've just had read from Ezekiel chapter 47, it starts with a reminder that things are not going to plan. Judah, the nation, has been defeated. Jerusalem, the city, has been taken, and the temple destroyed. And the people themselves have been trafficked. Out of all of that, into Babylon. They are held in captivity. And they're sitting and lamenting about what has happened. What's gone wrong? Why did it all go this way? And thinking back to the good old days as they remembered them. They're thinking particularly about the temple. And whilst they're thinking about the temple having been destroyed, we might think, oh, bless, a beautiful building has been destroyed. A building of architectural interest has been knocked down. Actually, for them, it was way, way more significant than that. Because the temple was not just a place where they went to worship. The temple was the place where God was. And if you took the temple out, you were taking out God. If you destroy the temple, it was as if you were destroying the notion of God. And so for the Babylonians, to destroy the temple is basically saying, we destroy your God. Your God no longer exists. You are cut off. Your prayers are unanswered and never will be because the temple has been destroyed. So you can imagine the sense of the enormity of all of that, the heaviness as they look back. But in the midst of all of this, Ezekiel has a vision. He sees something and he in his mind, and he starts to see water bubbling up from under the temple. He's imagining this temple with water appearing. Now, imagine if you came here this morning and water starts bubbling up from one of the corners. There would be a few people in this building who would suddenly go into very official mode. Stand back. I know what I'm doing. This is my responsibility. I am a member of that particular committee. I'm here. Do not worry. And so they would go rushing over to see where is this strange thing that's happening, this water that's bubbling up from under the ground, wondering, is it a pipe? Am I speaking something prophetic here? Just in case it happens again. So, there will be some people that will be really concerned and energized by the fact there is water, and somehow the water is a problem. We've got to find the source of the water. We've got to stop the water. We've got to cap the water. We've got to put up the barriers to put it back. But Ezekiel is seeing water that's starting to bubble up from the sides of this temple, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. It's no longer going to be a little drop or a damp patch. It's going to get bigger and bigger, and eventually it's going to become a little trickle to a stream to an enormous, wide, and deep river. So what should Ezekiel do? Stop it? Damn it? Call it, I don't know, South Staff's water and call it is their problem, come away and sort it out? No, instead, along comes Hi-Viz Man. Hi-Viz Man turns up, and as it turns out, it appears that Hi-Viz Man has been here before. Because I noticed there's another one of Hi-Viz jackets in there. There was another load of them in there. So you are well used to having Hi-Viz Man here at this church. Fabulous. Hi-Viz Man comes along and he starts measuring. When I was training at Bible College, I didn't have any grant funding or anything like that. I'd spent a year in a bank trying to earn as much money as possible to then save up to go to Bible College. But I knew it wouldn't last for 3 years. And so I used to get jobs every Christmas, Easter, summer, every week in whatever I could get. And it was either building sites, factories or whatever. And one of my jobs was at St. Thomas's Hospital in central London, opposite the House of Commons by the River Thames. And it was to work with some electrical contractors who were refitting electrical conduit around the building. And I turned up on the first day and I said, what do I do? And the guy said to me, well, you just stand there. Don't do anything. The contract says we can have these number of people, so we've got you. But don't do anything. But he said, if you see a man in a suit, just pick up a tape measure and start measuring anything. So Hi-Viz Man comes along. He's got his Hi-Viz jacket. He's got his tape measure. And he starts measuring. And some of you, you're really organized. You're very methodical and logical in the way that you go about things. So much so that actually you know it says in John's Gospel that in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God. But really you prefer if it was in the beginning was Excel and God was Excel. That's the kind of just the way you think and work. But actually, Hi-Viz Man comes along. He's got his Hi-Viz jacket. He's got his tape measure. And he says this. And where does he come from? Well, earlier on in Ezekiel chapter 40, so seven chapters beforehand, it says this. In the 25th year of our exile, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he took me there. In visions of God, he took me to the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain, on whose south side were some buildings that looked like a city. He took me there, and I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze. This is Hi-Viz Man. He was standing in the gateway with a linen cord, his tape measure, and a measuring rod in his hand. So Hi-Viz Man and his tape measure, well, they've been part of the story since chapter 40 of Ezekiel. And eventually, Hi-Viz Man with his Hi-Viz jacket and his tape measure, like any good consultant, tells Ezekiel what he already knows. You got a leak. And you know, if you hire a consultant in, eventually a consultant will tell you what you already know in the first place, but give you the bill for it. So Hi-Viz Man says, you got a leak, and it's coming from over there. Ezekiel chapter 40, Hi-Viz Man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. And he said, you've got water coming down from under the south side of the temple. Yeah, like I already know that, south of the altar. Hi-Viz Man then brought me out through the north gate and led me round the outside of the outer gate facing east. And the water was trickling from the south side. He says, you've got a leak and it's getting bigger and bigger and it's going to become a vast river. Don't worry, it's all good. Now, a few miles from here, probably only three or so, Sutton Park, a huge park, and right at the far end of the park is Plants Brook. There's a little spring, a little bubble of water that comes out of the ground in Plants Brook. And it comes out at that point, and it trickles round through Black Root Pool, round the back of Sutton Coalfield. It comes down through Erdington, round this way, and eventually it works its way into the River Tame. The River Tame works its way into the River Trent. And eventually, the River Trent works its way to the Humber Estuary, where the Humber Bridge is built. And at the time, it was the largest ever single-span bridge, 2.2 kilometres wide bridge. And then eventually, it goes out into the North Sea. That little spring of water just up the road in Sutton Park that comes all around here through Erdington, down round by us, eventually goes out into this enormous expansive estuary of 2.2 kilometres wide and then out into the open North Sea. And it all starts just up the road. Ezekiel has a vision of a spring of water, but it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, way beyond his imagination. Now, a river, what kind of river might this be? Which river could it be? Well, some might think, well, it's the River Jordan. Except the River Jordan is about 20 miles or so away from Jerusalem. So it's not the River Jordan. Some people have wondered, well, maybe it's another river that comes through Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is about 750 meters above sea level. So a river doesn't go up and over and down again. So it's not that river. And the more we've looked into archaeology, we know that there wasn't a river that came through in that kind of way. But what there is, though, in Jerusalem, there's a spring, the Gihon spring. And we see that not only in scripture, but we see that in archaeology, and you can even see it today. A spring that bubbles up from under the ground, sending out water traveling about. Now, the Romans, what did they ever do for us? Well, one of the things they did was creating aqueducts. And when they invaded that part of the world and they took over Jerusalem, they built an aqueduct because there was no other sufficient source of water. So it's been a problem here of where you get your water from. But there is this spring, the Gihon spring, and it's just to the east side. And is it that actually Ezekiel is seeing something prophetic? He's seeing something in his mind which is way bigger than simply a nice image. He's seeing something that actually is going to have a physical and spiritual transformation on communities around the world. And it's all going to come from this little bit of water. What he is seeing is not just a spring, not just H2O, he's seeing a river, the river of God, the river of life that's flowing out. And that river comes with eternal life. It comes with abundance. It's refreshing. It's energizing. It's for enjoyment, relaxation. And all of that together is what the river of God brings to you and I. It doesn't just bring us eternal singing songs. It doesn't just bring us lots of sitting in rows looking at the backs of people's heads and ears. It brings us joy and liberty and fun and freedom. Life. When Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. And life in all its fullness, its abundance, and all its vivid color. I wonder if that's been your experience so far of what God brings to you. In verse 3 of chapter 47, as High Vis Man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, that's about 500 meters, and led me through water that was ankle deep. So obviously he takes off his boots and his socks, and he goes into the water and is ankle deep. And the High Vis Man says, come in, come on, it's okay. Come into the water. Oh, I'm not sure about that. Comes in, and the High Vis Man goes a bit further, deeper into the water, 500 meters further into the water. You can begin to see how big this water expanse is. But come on, follow me, come deeper. And it goes from ankle deep to sort of shin deep, knee deep. And High Vis Man is saying, come on, it's okay, come deeper. It's now waist deep. Oh my goodness. And it's all very well paddling around in toes in a little bit, an inch or two of water. But when you've got water now that's up to your waist, all of a sudden you're starting to feel the weight of that water. Oh my goodness me, this water is alive. I can really feel the energy of it. And then it says in verse 5 and 6, now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one can cross. He asked me, son of man, do you see this? And he's taken them into the water, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. And eventually he's saying, look, just go with it. Have you ever been into water that's got deeper and deeper? Maybe it's a swimming pool. And as you've started at the shallow end and you've walked your way down and you're still on tippy toes and you're sort of stretching up a little bit more, and you're trying to keep your feet on the ground because somehow it feels like it's okay, that it's going to be safe there. And you're increasingly stretching up, trying to kind of be able to breathe. Just go with it. Just go with it. The thing about the river, he's saying, is that when he says it was too deep to cross, the significance of that is he wasn't meant to cross it. He was meant to go in it. Get in the river. Don't cross the river. When we see the river, we want to go round it. We want to go over it. No. Go in the river. You will experience something more of the river when you're in it than when you're on the outside looking at it. If you've ever been swimming in the river, it's so different to simply looking and watching other people swim in the river. And maybe this morning, you've been part of a church community for a while, or maybe this is a new experience for you, and you find yourself looking in on other people's worship, looking in on their Christian experience, and saying, well, it obviously works for them, but I'm not sure it could work for me. Well, get in. Step in. Try it. Don't just watch from the side banks looking at other people's experience. Get into the water. Try it. You won't know unless you try it. And if you're somebody who's been exploring faith, kind of looking inquisitively from a distance, and you've got lots of questions and doubts, oh, that's fine, we all have. Join the club. But step in. Try it. See how it actually works for you too. So the aim isn't to cross the river, it's to go into the river, to let go and just go with the flow of it. Remember, this is the river of God, the Spirit of Christ. Go with it. And it says that trees lined up along the sides of the river, because wherever the river of God flows, there is life, abundant life. And even if that river flows through some really tough places, wherever that river flows, there is life on the sides. Everything around it benefits. If you've ever seen images of the River Nile meandering through kind of really desert-like areas, and yet on the sides of either bank is lush, lush, fertile land. Because even though the river has gone through desert times, it's brought life with it. And I would be astonished if I wasn't standing before a room full of people who have experienced the harshness, the desert, arid times that life brings. Because it happens for all of us. Verse 8, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea, where it empties into the sea, the salty water there becoming fresh. Get that image. This little spring comes into a river and it's fresh water. It's really fresh water. But eventually it comes into a place of Dead Sea. So over here, what have I got here? Let's try this. So I'm just a bit thirsty. Yuck. Wow. That's really ropey, that is. Stagnant water. Do you ever see stagnant water in a pond? Maybe you've got it in your garden, or you've seen it around somewhere else. And the pond originally looked beautiful, or very ornate. But now, it's gone a bit wild. The water's not moved around. It's remained stagnant. And actually, if there is life in there, it's hard to see it, because it's all covered up by the gunk, the moss. And sometimes we can experience that stagnation too. It all starts great with nice fresh water, but with inactivity, it goes nowhere and it becomes stagnant. And I see churches all over the place that one time had a great history. They had life about them. They had energy and mission about them. They had what you have got. But at some point, they got stagnant. They got stuck. Nothing ever changes here. This is how we do things in this church. This is the way we organize ourselves. This is what we do. Nothing changes here. And it's the kiss of death to a church. So when you hear your leaders with a vision going for energy and mission and ministry, and even if it hasn't been tried before, just be so grateful that they're not leading you into stagnant water. They're leading you into fresh water that brings life and vitality. Because what you really want is this stuff, because it's pure and fresh and tastes an awful lot better than that stuff. And maybe you've experienced in your own life points of death and decay too. The river of life comes and it brings life. And notice in the reading, it flows into the Dead Sea. And even though it flows into the Dead Sea, it brings life with it. And you and I all have parts of our lives which either have been or are at the moment struggling. It might be your health, your physical health. It might be your mental health. It might be a relationship that you've been struggling with. It's an abusive one. There can be all sorts of things that we've experienced or do experience that bring us down, that don't bring us that life, and they do the opposite. But where the river of God flows, there is life. And when we allow ourselves to step into that river of God and allow that river to come through us and be part of us, so we are in it, we allow that life, Holy Spirit life, to come deep within us, bringing life to those difficult places within us. Jesus is described as being like water. In John chapter 7, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. That river that begins in Genesis and flows right through to the end in Revelation 22, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city, la 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 la. That river flows from Genesis all the way to Revelation, from beginning to end, but it meanders through you and I, through your life, through my life too, bringing with it joy. Notice also that in verse 11, but the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. And whilst we might want everybody to feel the benefit of being having this river of life coming through us, and the ministry that you do, whether it be food bank or whether it be job club or the soup kitchen or whatever it might be, whatever you do in bringing life, we recognize that at times there are other people who just, for whatever reason, have chosen not to receive that. And there is a difference. There is a difference. And believe you me, there is a difference between drinking this one and drinking this one. And also, you notice this. If I leave this on its own, the stagnant one, if I leave it on its own and I do nothing with it, it doesn't become suddenly pure with time. It gets more and more stagnant. What there is a difference, and we know, and we stick with the original, the pure. And just to end with this, the river of God brings harvest. Verse 12, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. There will be fruit, abundant fruit. It talks about there'll be all kinds of fruit, not just one kind, all kind. Diversity is kind of all part of the God thing. The more diverse you become as a church, the more you are representing something of the fullness, the breadth of God. Be more and more diverse. And these trees will therefore bear fruit, much, much fruit. Nobody wants a fruit tree that doesn't bear fruit. They're created to bear fruit, and that's what they bring. And notice also that they bring harvest every month. It's going to supernaturally break the cycle. The expectation is that in the natural order of things, there'll be once a year there'll be a harvest. But But actually, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can hope and expect a much greater harvest. Why do we have to wait once a year for somebody to become a new believer in Christ? No, no, no. And create the expectation. Harvest is plentiful. These trees are going to be bearing fruit every month, according to this vision. Imagine if every month new people are coming to faith through the ministry that you're doing here. Every month, not just the occasional ones. And what do these leaves do? They bring healing for the nations. Healing. Then we all need that. In our body, in our mind, and in our spirit. We need that. We live with those who need that. We see people in our streets and our social media networks who need that. We can bring through the power of the Holy Spirit the river of life. So to end with this, Ezekiel sees a vision, but it's not enough simply for him to imagine it. He's actually got to do something about it. And in that vision, he's got to go in ankle deep, then knee deep, waist deep, and then eventually let himself go in the Holy Spirit. When you get into worship, maybe it's a new thing for you coming into church and singing all these songs. Well, great, go ankle deep. Once you pick up the tune and you see people kind of getting into it as if somehow it matters, maybe you're going knee deep. But if you've been around the block a bit like I have, and you've sung these songs and you can sing a new song even before it's ever been trained to you because you kind of know how these songs go, well, maybe you've got yourself waist deep. Fabulous. But don't resist. Don't resist. Because if you're going to stand waist deep in a free-flowing water, it's going to take you more energy to resist than it is just to go with the flow. Don't use your energy in church and in a faith community resisting what God is calling you to do. Go with it. Go with it. Even if it's something new. Let yourself go. Swim in the river of God. And let God take you where he wants to go. And maybe this morning for you, you're somebody who's been looking in on faith. Well, step in for the first time. Maybe for you, the message is more go knee deep. Maybe you feel, actually, I've been around a while, I've got to go waist deep. Whatever it is, take your next step and say, Lord God, thank you for your river. It brings life to me. I want to go free in your river. Take me deeper, ever deeper with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for sending the likes of High-Vis Man to help Ezekiel with that vision. Lord, we thank you for the likes of Ezekiel and his willingness to open himself to all that you have for him. Because of him, we now see. So Lord, his vision becomes our vision too. Lord, thank you for your river of life. Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you that you come to bring us life in all its abundance, vividness, color, joy. Help us, Lord, to take our next step. Holy Spirit, speak to us, nudge us. What is it that you are calling us to do? How are you calling us to go deeper with you? To trust you, to follow you, to stop resisting you. Take us ever deeper with you, we pray. As a church community, as homes and households, as individuals, may we be those who are swimming in your river, experiencing your abundant joy and freedom. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.